Good morning, world. With news and commentary for the 27th of June, 2005, I'm King David McKenzie. As of 12:45 Universal Coordinated Time, here's how the world is treating itself. Donald Rumsfeld was on Fox Propaganda Channel yesterday telling America it could take a dozen years to win GWB's war against Iraq. So much for GWB standing on the deck of the Abraham Lincoln proclaiming mission accomplished a couple of years ago. If you haven't already noticed it, please go to radio.indymedia.org and look down the right column of the front page until you find a link reading Scott Ritter, Iran, Where Do We Go From Here? From there, you can click through to the MP3 audio of Ritter's appearance last Thursday in Deerfield, Massachusetts. Make a CD of that recording if you can and play it, first for yourself and then for your loved ones and friends, and even place a copy in your local public library while you're at it. For once, you will be able to hear this man's extremely important message without having it interrupted by a neocon media clown like Tucker Carlson last week. And while you're at radio.indymedia.org, check out the rest of their information, too, in addition to this newscast. Ritter asks a particularly sharp question while there. We declared a war on terror and those who practice terror. Are we going to declare war on ourselves? Of course, the neocons have already declared war on Americans. They claim to want to go after terrorists while Osama bin Laden is still at large, going on 4 years after 9/11. Meanwhile, the ACLU and Human Rights Watch have accused the Justice Department of plunging at least 70 Americans of Arab heritage into a Kafkaesque world of indefinite detention. Of those 70, only 4 have been tried and convicted of terrorism-related crimes, and another 3 charged. Meanwhile, 13 of these people have received apologies from the government for their detention. In one case, suspicious neighbors had broken into the home of a 68-year-old physician and discovered literature on becoming a pilot. So the Bush regime cuffed him and locked him up. To paraphrase the old Rod Serling Twilight Zone story, the monsters are already on Maple Street, and they look a hell of a lot like us. 35 years ago, riots against New York police harassment of gay bars touched off the gay civil rights movement. This weekend, cities across the United States saw gay pride celebrations. Thorough reports on all of the activities can be found on the web at planetout.com. If you grew up in the 60s and 70s, two of the voices that you grew up listening to have been silenced. Winnie the Pooh has lost Tigger and Piglet. The actors who voiced those characters in the Disney animated films of A.A. Milne's stories died over the weekend. First, Paul Winchell, perhaps the last truly great ventriloquist of our age and a towering figure of children's television from World War II experimental telecasts to the Smurfs, died in his sleep on Friday. He had also helped to invent the artificial heart, among other tinkerings. He was 82. First public word of his death was posted on the website newsfromme.com, which is written by Hollywood writer Mark Evanier, who worked with Winchell on several shows. Then, on Saturday, John Fiedler died at the age of 80. He was one of the jurors in 12 Angry Men. He appeared with Sidney Poitier in A Raisin in the Sun on Broadway and was in the original stage production of The Odd Couple with Walter Matthau and Art Carney. Fiedler had appeared on a New York-based talk show that was seen on the West Coast by Walt Disney, who personally cast that voice as Piglet. After that, perhaps his best-known role was as the bashful Mr. Peterson, one of the patients on the Bob Newhart show in the 70s. It was a rather pleasant surprise for me to be watching the Burt Reynolds pulp noir flick Sharky's Machine in a theater in Oshkosh, Wisconsin in 1981 and noticed that voice popping up there, too. Fiedler played the forensics investigator, Barrett, in that picture. At the same time, the old Night Flight show on USA Cable was showing Kinescope reruns of Fiedler's first TV work, the early kiddie space opera Tom Corbett Space Cadet, on which he had been Cadet Alfie Higgins for all four television networks of that period, including Dumont. We've also lost the father of what's become known as the Summer of Love. Chet Helms died Friday at a too young 62 years of age at San Francisco's California Pacific Medical Center. It was Chet Helms who brought a Texas blues singer named Janis Joplin to San Francisco in 1966 and put her in a band called Big Brother and the Holding Company. He was the one who organized the Golden Gate Park be-ins, where the Grateful Dead, the Jefferson Airplane, and Country Joe and the Fish could all be seen pre-Monterey Pop. He was taken by complications of a stroke. To his last, he proudly wore that long hair and beard, often topped with a hat, that distinguished him before Haight-Ashbury became a hub of youth counterculture. Dig up some Country Joe and the Dead and the Airplane and give them a spin today in Chet's honor, okay? As a result of using a more sophisticated mad cow test that came back positive last week, the Ag Department has announced it will be using that form of testing in all suspected cases in the future. The Ag Department had refused in November to take that test, but activists in the U.S. forced them into taking that test this month. The NAACP has chosen former Verizon executive Bruce Gordon to replace Kwesi Mfumi, as its next president. Gordon says his first priority will be to build the group's finances. Dairyland Power Cooperative has dedicated its first cow-powered generating plant in Dunn County, north of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The plant uses methane extracted from the manure of 900 cows on an area dairy farm. The energy generated by the methane is enough to power 600 homes. The plant was built using technology that has been in use in Europe for the last 15 years. And in the meanwhile, GWB wants us to build more nukes. He could probably power the Dunn County plant for a year on only a week's worth of his crappy policies. For the very first time ever this year, Wisconsin winter snowmobilers will be outnumbered by Wisconsin summer all-terrain vehicle riders. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources notes that tepid winters of recent years have contributed to the slight decrease in snowmobile registrations since 2000, while ATV registrations have exploded by 90% in the same time frame. Shooting begins on Wednesday in St. Paul, Minnesota, on a movie based on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion public radio show. It's a Robert Altman picture to be filmed mainly in the Fitzgerald Theater, where the program usually originates from, as well as the nearby diner Mickey's. This newscast originates from three different locations on the World Wide Web, whiterosesociety.org, radioforall.net, and radio.indymedia.org. Please offer these websites, as well as any other online or broadcast stations airing this newscast, whatever possible support you can, okay? And by the way, as of today, a very, very warm welcome to KITR, the fiercely independent radio station in Kettle Falls, Washington, which is now broadcasting this program Monday through Friday. Many thanks to the folks there. I hope that it's a long and prosperous association. You can email me at thevoiceoflabor@centurytel.net. That's the voice of labor, all one word, at centurytel, CENTURYTEL. .net. And I'll be seeing you here again tomorrow. I'm King David McKenzie. Remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space. Now go out and make some news of your own. See you later.